The Marble Hill Church of God Seventh-day Fellowship presents The Way It Ought to Be, with the good news of the Kingdom of God coming to the earth and how you may prepare for it and avoid the calamities just around the corner.
This is Pete Hornbuckle with The Way It Ought to Be. If you want to know where you will land as an individual or as a nation, then we should be concerned about our conduct, because the conduct of an individual or a nation determines where we will land and the life we will have on our way. God promises a good life and His blessings to those that obey Him. And He also promises to bring curses on those that disobey Him. He tells us that we will bring curses on self if we disobey Him as well, His word and His laws. God also tells us what sin is, that it is the breaking of His law, the Ten Commandments. But you don't hear too many ministers preaching about keeping God's law and telling you that you are a sinner if you are ignoring God's law. Why is that? Maybe you would like to ask your pastor that question. We have been going through the commandments one at a time. Today we want to look at the seventh commandment. Do you know what it is? If you don't, you should, and so should everyone else, because the keeping of it, as well as the other nine, would have saved this world a lot of suffering. Notice this seventh commandment in Exodus 20, verse 14. Very short commandment. You shall not commit adultery. Now that's speaking in the letter of the law, and it still applies today. It's God's word, and His word stands forever. Christ magnified the law in a spiritual sense, and that still stands today as well. Notice in Matthew 5, beginning in verse 27. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. Now Christ is repeating that seventh commandment here. Verse 28. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. Christ is telling us how important it is to obey the law, even the spirit of the law, the letter of the law, and the spirit of the law. That's easy to understand. Christ is telling you to control your mind and your emotions. He is also telling you that if you lust, then you are sinning. You would be breaking the spirit or the intent of the law. Now that's not doing away with the law, it's fulfilling it. It's telling us that if adultery isn't on your mind, then you won't be led to the physical act. The act of adultery came under the death penalty in ancient Israel, and it still is today. For it is sin. It is breaking the law. It is a sin that must be repented of, or you will be burned to death in the lake of fire when God destroys the wicked. Now, we don't have a law of the land as they were supposed to have had back in ancient Israel, that you would be stoned to death for committing adultery. We don't have that law as a physical law of the land today, because we are living under grace and you can be forgiven. You aren't put to death today for your sins, but you will be if you don't repent when you have your opportunity for salvation. We seem to think that we can get away with anything, any type of life that we want to live. We don't want to face the reality that it just may be our lifestyle that brings all our troubles, because we want to do what we like to do, and much of what human nature likes to do isn't what we should do. Adultery, fornication, perverted and twisted sex, in any form, God condemns and commands us to avoid that lifestyle for our own good. The mind is where this evil starts, and in the mind, a mind change is where it ends. That's why Christ said, if you look and lust after a woman, you are guilty of adultery. The same would apply to a woman lusting after a man. Notice what Paul had to say in Hebrews 13, beginning in verse 4. Hebrews 13, verse 4. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Fidelity in marriage is what God is speaking of. Sex of any form outside of marriage is sin and brings curses. Verse 5, let your conduct be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor never forsake you. So so we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what can man do to me." In other words, God is saying, if you obey him, and this commandment, this seventh commandment that we're speaking of here, is included. If you obey him, keep his commandments and his judgments, and God says you don't have to fear. You don't have to live a life of fear. God said in verse 4, marriage is honorable, but went on to say any other sex act is a great sin that has agonizing, miserable consequences and brings on much suffering to a family, community, a nation, physically, mentally, and emotionally, as well as financially. It brings on broken homes by divorce, kids without both parents to rear and train them. Fornication defiles you before marriage and leaves many kids not knowing whom their father and sometimes even their mother is. What a shame to do such things as we do in our nation. Notice what God inspired the prophet Jeremiah to write about the house of Israel and the nation of Judah. This is an end-time prophecy, an indictment to both nations. Judah, or the little nation we call Israel today, and the United States and the British people, which are the two main nations in the house of Israel, and it is mainly addressed to the U.S. and the British people. This was written 130 years after the house of Israel had been taken captive by the Assyrian Empire beginning in 732 through 718 B.C., and Judah was in the process of being taken captive at the very time Jeremiah was writing and prophesying. Now notice Jeremiah chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. And remember, it is a dual prophecy. Jeremiah was speaking at that time to the nation of Judah, and it is an end-time prophecy for the nations of Israel as well, and especially the United States and the British people and Judah, the little nation of Judah that we call Israel today. Verse 1 of Jeremiah 5 says, "Run to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem. See now and know and seek in her open places if you can find a man." And God is meaning a man that would obey him, a man of justice. "If there is anyone who executes judgment, who seeks the truth, and I will pardon her." God said it had become that bad, and all indications are that it's going to become that bad in our day today, and it seems that we're fast approaching that time. "Though they say, as the Lord lives, surely they swear falsely." Yes, they were claiming to be a God-fearing nation. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? "O Lord, are not your eyes on the truth?" In other words, Jeremiah was asking God, says, "God, you see the truth, and you know those that are obeying you. You have stricken them, but they have not grieved. You have consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction." Does that sound like our nation today? Well, it does, my friends. Sad to say, but that sounds like our nation today. They have made their faces harder than rock. They have refused to return. We go on blindly staggering in our way, bringing curses after curses upon us, not realizing that God may be sending some of these natural disasters on us to correct us, hoping that we will turn and change. Verse 4, "Therefore I said, surely these are poor, they are foolish, for they do not know the way of the Lord, the judgment of their God." This is speaking to our nation, to you and me, my friends. Do we know the way of God? Do we know God? Do we know the judgments of our God? I ask that question. You can answer it. "I will go to the great men and speak to them, for they have known the way of the eternal, the judgment of their God. But these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bond." Jeremiah is saying, and God is inspiring him here, that if there had been anyone that knew God, they had turned as well. Verse 6, God tells us some of the things that's going to befall the nations of Israel in the end time because of our many sins, and adultery and fornications and perverted sex are among those great sins. Verse 6, "Therefore a lion from the forest shall slay them, a wolf of the desert shall destroy them, a leopard will watch over their cities. Everyone who goes out from there shall be torn in pieces, because their transgressions are many, their backslidings have increased." In other words, God is saying that we're coming to the point that nothing is going to go right for our nations. Verse 7, "How shall I pardon you for this? Your children have forsaken me." Does that sound like our nation today? Haven't we forsaken our God and sworn by those that are not gods? When I had fed them to the full, then they committed adultery and assembled themselves by troops in the harlots' houses. Well, I ask again, my friends, does that sound like our nation today? They were like well-fed, lusty stallions, everyone neighing after his neighbor's wife. Do we see any of that going on today? Doesn't that sound like the day that we're living in? Stop and think, my friends, what God is telling us. Verse 9, shall I not punish them for these things, says the Eternal, and shall I not avenge myself on such a nation as this? Go up on her walls and destroy, but do not make a complete end. Take away her branches, for they are not the Lord's. God says take away her branches, and it just may be speaking of the end time generation, our kids. Yes, God says, shall I not punish them for these things, says the Eternal, and shall I not avenge myself on such a nation as this? Go up on her walls and destroy, but do not make a complete end. Take away her branches, for they are not the Lord's. In other words, we are a nation that's not obeying God. Verse 11, for the house of Israel and the house of Judah have dealt very treacherously with me, says the Eternal. Notice that, my friend. God says the house of Israel and the house of Judah. As I said, when this was penned, when Jeremiah was prophesying and writing his book, it was 130 years after Israel had already been taken into captivity. This is an end-time prophecy for Israel. Verse 12, they have lied about the Lord and said, it is not he. Neither will evil come upon us, nor shall we see sword or famine. Well, it doesn't seem to occur to us, our nation, that all these natural disasters, storms, tornadoes, floods, drought, earthquakes, sickness and disease, that God just may have a hand in them. Now, we're bringing these evils upon ourselves because God says he will curse those that doesn't obey him, and he will bless those that do. It isn't too difficult to understand what we're under, curses or blessings. And the prophets become wind, for the word is not in them. Thus shall it be done to them. God is saying the ministers that's out there today, they don't have God's word, and they aren't teaching God's word. He's not saying all of them, but there are way too many that just tries to appease the people. Well, God is indicting our nation because we aren't sounding the alarm, lifting up our voice like a trumpet, and showing our people to our sins. And one of those terrible sins is adultery, fornication, same-sex marriage, and so on. Well, I see my time is up. We'll pick this up in our next program. In the meantime, we invite you to request our free literature, Spend a Lifetime Together, and The Edge of Divorce. If you want to understand how to have a happy marriage, my friend, you need these two articles. So call us toll-free, the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day at 573-238-3675, or you may email us at thewayitoughttobe@hotmail.com, or you can go online and order online and also hear pre-recorded programs online at www.thewayitoughttobe.org. So call us, the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, at 573-238-3675 and request your free articles, Spend a Lifetime Together and The Edge of Divorce. Well, this is Pete Hornbuckle on behalf of the Marble Hill Church of God. Thanks for joining us today, and we invite you to keep listening to the Way It Ought to Be program and to continue to order and call us for your free literature. Have a good day, my friends.
Thanks for listening to Pete Hornbuckle and the Way It Ought to Be program, presented by the faithful members and co-workers of the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, located on County Road 300, one block north of the Cat Ranch in Marble Hill, meeting Saturday, the Sabbath, at 2 p.m. You can listen to our previously recorded broadcasts or order free literature on our website at www.thewayitoughttobe.org. Or call us at 573-238-3675 or email us at thewayitoughttobe@hotmail.com. Our address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri 63764.